Welcome to another episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly quizcast where two professional quizmasters talk about how to write and host good pub trivia, as well as quizzing each other and our guests on our favorite questions of the week. I'm one half of your hosting team, Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis!
Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome back to the studio.
It's so great to be here again.
In person.
In person, where I can touch you and feel your leg.
Yes. I mean, you'd have to stretch out a little bit. You'd have to make an effort.
Can I just say, I know that you got your intro now. I do. Mm-hmm. I miss the episode 178 just coming right out. But I do take umbrage with part of your new intro, and that's that you say, we show people how to do good pub trivia. No.
Hmm?
No, we don't. Hmm. We don't. Not good pub trivia. Great.
Well.
Great pub trivia. So I take umbrage.
I would like to think so. Maybe we should change it. We
do our best. Do we always succeed?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You be the judge. You know, we like to toot our horn a little bit. I like a soft toot.
Toot, toot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also like to toot the horns of our friends, do we not?
Oh, yes, we do.
The occasional toot. Maybe every once in a while.
Toot, toot.
I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while. Maybe a honk, honk.
Yeah.
I think this is a honk week, don't you?
This is definitely a honk week. Absolutely.
We got Skylar Dennison, local professional chef.
Death by taco.
And he'll even honk
he's honking.
He'll even honk his own.
Honking on Bobo.
Indeed. Oh, yes. Aerosmith legends.
Mm-hmm. Skylar, welcome.
Hello.
Welcome
you.
Back.
I love coming here.
And also a supporter of the pod, proverbial lightkeeper.
Oh, yeah.
Or team captain.
I don't remember. About
that. You're one of those. Yeah.
I think it was the middle one.
Yeah. Thanks so much. When I'm editing, you are like my mental clock. Like, some people have an angel and a devil on their shoulder. When I'm editing the episodes, I have a little Skylar that sits on my shoulder and says, I'm going to be making tacos tomorrow morning, and I'm going to want something when I'm prepping.
My Monday prep. Yeah,
exactly. I'm going to want something to listen to. So if I'm ever late putting the episode up, you're on my shoulder yelling at me. You don't even have to text me or anything. You're just there.
If it's too late, I won't even see it until the next day.
I know, and I feel bad about that. <It's okay>. Because Tuesday, what are you doing? You're not prepping. You're relaxing probably, hopefully, right?
No, I'm never relaxing, but, you know, yeah. I'm
never relaxing.
Sounds like me.
Well, I try. I try not to, at least.
What do you like to do to relax when you have your downtime?
The same thing I do for work,
cook more
stuff. Just not the stress of work on top of it. Yeah.
Okay, freestyle cooking.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Whatever chefy wants.
How do you think you would do on Chopped? I'm a fan of Chopped.
I like Chopped, too. I don't want to sound cocky, but I honestly think I would do pretty well.
Mm.
Just because I'm the kind of person who I never know what I'm going to make until I just go and start looking through my fridge, and I'm just like, I have this and this and this, and
I have an idea.
You're already doing the challenge at home.
Yeah, pretty
can
much.
Can I pitch an idea right here and now?
Yeah.
You should do a pop-up at Nice Guys someday where Greg picks three ingredients and you have to make stuff from those ingredients. I don't know exactly how
Greg he's going to order an epic amount of ingredients.
Greg would be the worst person to do that because he would be the best person to do that.
Because
he would
bring me
the most insane shit. And I'd be like, fuck, fermented fish eggs. You know what I mean?
If you give me peanut butter, jelly, and bread, I don't know what to make.
I had
But these people are like black licorice, fish sauce, and, you know, fucking figs.
Those would
and
all work very well together.
I was going to say, Skylar could probably make that work.
Yeah, that would.
But that's the thing. That's why I think you'd be so good at it, because you're good at looking at what you got and making it into something delicious.
We did, me and Victoria on the truck, did make a joke that we wanted to do a pop-up where we just sell peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
Hell yeah.
You guys would sell them a lot because you're you. People would be
probably get some pork belly on that, though, or something crazy like that.
I thought it'd be funny just when people show up, be like, man, what kind of crazy peanut butter jellies is going to be? And it's like, yo, we got Jif. And Welch's grape on Wonder white bread. That's it. Toasted or non-toasted.
I will say one of the coolest things I've ever done. This is back in the day when I used to go to Athens all the time. And this will be really saying something because I'm saying it's one of the coolest things I've done. We made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, but we put the bread one piece on top of each other in a toaster oven. So toasted the outsides, but not the insides. Then we put peanut butter and jelly on the toasty sides. So the toasty sides were touching and the outsides were soft. And it was warm and soft, but when you bit into it, it was a crunch.
Whoa.
You know,
it was like the best fucking it still sticks in my mind.
You know what's funny is I tell people all the time that if I ever went down a history for food, it would be for my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I essentially do the same thing, but I take two pieces of bread and then I take the middle slice, I toast it super hard, and then I essentially make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with that super crunchy piece in the middle. You got that texture.
There it is.
I've taught a few people that, and I'll get random texts at 4 a.m. Oh my God, this is so fucking good.
That is awesome.
And when you get bigger, when you're older, you know, you need that third slice.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you need some heft.
Third slice? Wait, a third slice
PB&J? So it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you know, but
like a Big Mac style.
Yeah, you add a third tier, and that middle tier, you just toast it super hard, so it's real crunchy. And then you have the soft outsides. You get that texture crunch.
Let me ask you this. Do you do peanut butter on both sides of one and jelly on both sides of the other? Or do you go peanut butter and jelly, peanut butter and jelly?
I usually do, yes, I alternate. So if the bottom, very bottom slice is jelly, the above would be, actually I do one tier peanut butter and honey and the other peanut butter and jelly.
Now peanut butter and honey is a very underrated. I used to have bagels with peanut butter and honey, and the peanut butter would melt like butter, and you'd like put a drizzle of honey on it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And a little cayenne pepper.
Super hungry. Oof. Right now.
I know that sounds weird, but cayenne.
No, it doesn't.
It's so good.
Lately, I've been taking to putting jelly or jam on my toast, and then putting a sprinkling of salt.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So, oh my God. And it just pops that umami.
I'm gonna give you some good salt to put on there. Some Malden, super flaky. Woo.
Goiters are gonna make a comeback. No one's using iodized salt anymore.
I think it's
Goiters comeback for 2022.
We talked about this. The processed food has so much of that in it that you're fine. You eat one bag of Doritos and you're good for 6 months on your iodine.
You hear that, folks? Doritos is medicine. Yeah. Skylar, thank you so much for the advice on the PB&J.
Oh, yeah, Mark too, man. I didn't know we were on the same page. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's great.
Now, it is a beautiful thing.
When you guys make the PB&J, what I like to do is put the peanut butter on both sides of the bread, jelly in the middle, but not going all the way to the edge, and then you seal the outside like a little PB glue.
I can see
peanut butter glue, and it makes it kind of like
an encrustable.
You like an encrustable, yeah.
But with the crust.
But you could cut it off if you leave enough room, you know, on the edge with the peanut butter. You could totally cut the crust off if that's your style.
Oh, I'm a crust man.
So, but it makes a little jelly pocket, almost like a jelly donut. But yeah, like an encrustable. Yeah.
Crust on my pies. Mm-hmm. Crust on my sandwiches.
Crust on the pizza.
Crust in my underwear. Crust in my pizza.
Oh, no.
Kyle Hand just shot me a look.
Crust on the undies. No, thank you.
Oh, what was the joke about? Doctor said I need a semen sample, a urine sample, and a fecal sample. I just left my underwear with them.
Well, speaking of crust, we do have a punk rock rate my question coming up later. Ooh, so stick around for that.
Yes.
But before we get into that and our quiz, how about we go over our weekly wrap up?
I forgot all about that. Yeah, okay.
All right. Due to the Thanksgiving holiday, we had just one quiz this week at No Nonsense, number 371 at Point Ebel Brewing Company, where we saw 15 teams compete. There's only an 8-point difference between the top three teams. There was first and third place, a fearsome foursome, regular fries, 57 points. Then in second place, our returning winners from the previous week, the Hideaways, with 60 points. And our winners, a brand new team, who actually guessed on the final question, giving them just enough points to take the lead, the Knights, who say, "Nee!" with 65 points.
Mm.
So congratulations to them.
A Monty Python reference.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Grail.
Mm, yes.
Mark, how did your teams do at trivia this Wednesday?
They did good. Okay. Gobble my gravy. Just swept it. 27 points in the first round, 48 points in the second round, 63 third and final round. But how do they do compared to our online players?
That's their progression, by the way. They didn't earn that many points in each round, did they?
First, second, then third total. Yeah, total.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify. Were they just like getting like, now we're even stronger, three times as good?
Whiskey Tango ending the night with 74 points. Gobble Gobble Mark's Butthole. Elise and Max, 91 points.
Okay.
So yeah, my butthole is powerful.
Right on. Well, congratulations to those winning teams. If you missed it and you want to join us this week for some trivia or Mark's powerful sphincter, you can do so This Wednesday, we're live at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida for a no-nonsense trivia challenge based on your category requests. Join us for your opportunity to win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. That's at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. On Thursdays, we're at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for a weekly quiz based on your category requests. That's also at 7:30 p.m. You can join us and win some prizes, including gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral. That's on Thursdays at 7:30. And of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom starting at 8 p.m.
Yes.
And please,
Eastern Standard Time.
And please don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit. And join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us.
Won't you?
One of our more discordant chords.
That's all right.
You went ham on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
On that Twitter.
Oh my gosh.
God, damn.
It was ridiculous.
This man.
I was posting a new question every 20 minutes for 24 hours straight and highlighting the first person who got the question right most of the time. I think I had probably like 90%, 95% accuracy on that. But
good.
Thank you to everybody who followed us on No Non Trivia, or I should say at No Non Trivia on Twitter for that. And we're going to resume our normal posting schedule shortly, because it was a bit much, I think.
It was a lot.
Yeah. There was 60 Thanksgiving trivia questions. I didn't host a Thanksgiving trivia this year, so I was feeling a little like, how can I celebrate this in the trivia world?
I see you sitting at the family table just like turning your mashed potatoes into a mountain while you're just on Twitter, like haven't slept in 24 hours.
Please kill me.
And also, everybody, don't forget you can check out Death by Taco. Yes. On Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, at the very least.
Yes.
In Cape Coral, right outside of Nice Guys Pizza, and also follow them on social media for their schedule with special events.
Yes.
And such. That's yes, Death yes. by Taco 239 is what you want to look for.
You don't want to get that San Francisco one.
Mondays, 4 to 9. Thursdays and Fridays,
11 to 9.
11 to 9.
Yeah. Get that lunch.
Yeah. You have no damn excuse. And when this man pops out a burrito, you best be eating it.
I love the burrito specials.
Oh, my God.
You guys are,
I mean, I love the tacos. I love the sandwiches. Don't get me wrong. I'm a burrito man at heart. I've always preferred burritos over tacos. I know it's an American invention. I don't care.
It's not really. That's not an American invention.
It isn't? Uh-huh. I've heard that it was started in California.
Nachos, well, I think. Essentially, a burrito is a taco with a flour tortilla. That's what they call burritos. But we just made them bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, and you know, California, San Francisco really invented them with the beans, the rice, the meat, you know.
Nachos were in Mexico, I think,
yeah,
right?
For American tourists that showed up late. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like a Air Force base or an Army base or something like that.
It was something like that, but it was in, I believe it was actually in Mexico.
Okay.
And yeah, the guys but, that yeah. made them, his name was Nacho. So the name Nachos is possessive. Right. They're Nachos
it's all
chips. Back
to me now.
So it's very funny that we call them nachos.
That we use the pun that it's
just
nachos.
Like Reese's.
Yeah.
It's almost the opposite of Dexy's Midnight Runners.
It is.
You would think it was possessive, but it's
indeed,
not.
Indeed, but it's not.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a break.
Okay.
And then we'll be right back with our first round of trivia with Skylar.
And we're back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he stole it.
Jumped on you. I think I'm asking first.
Yeah, but I have a quick announcement to make. Ooh. That I just noticed while we were on our break there. Mark, our last episode 177,
mm-hmm.
we crossed 3,000 questions asked on this podcast.
Ooh, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine?
3K questions asked.
Man. Jesus.
And we've got a few more coming up right now.
Let's go ahead and cross that well past that line with this question. George Washington introduced America to what animal, of which Darwin wrote, always appears to me most surprising that a hybrid should possess more reason, memory, obstinacy, social affection, powers of muscular endurance, and length of life than either of its parents seems to indicate that art has here outdone nature. It's a long question.
Wow.
It's a long
Quite
question.
Quite the quote.
But it's necessary, is it not?
Yeah, it helps paint a picture of what I could be thinking of.
Would you like to hear it one more time?
Please.
George Washington introduced America to what animal, of which Darwin wrote, always appears to me most surprising that a hybrid should possess more reason, memory, obstinacy, social affection, powers of muscular endurance, and length of life than either of its parents seems to indicate that art has here outdone nature.
So introduced, that means nothing native North America, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah.
And then social, so it's got to be an animal that we're used to being social with.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two that are sticking out to me.
And he said it was a hybrid.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm trying to think of two animals that
a liger.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things. But like we don't know, we don't have social affections for that.
No, you're right about that. That was the first thing that came to mind. It's an hybrid animal. I was like, motherfucker's bringing over a liger.
I'm trying to think of like more like Washington's more ligers. Household pets. Obviously, probably not something as common as like a dog or obviously a cat, but like a household pet, or maybe even like a
ferret.
Food, like something that we actually eat as well, because we've been doing that. I mean, that's usually why we cross.
Yeah,
a lot of animals.
The cow is a artificially created creature based on the oryx that was then bred to,
but not introduced. I mean, cows were everywhere in America. You know what I mean? That wouldn't be an introduction. Well, bison, but I mean,
yeah, that's not the dairy cow.
Did that's the dairy cow come from somewhere else? Then we brought it here and said, "Here's a dairy cow."
I think so. I think in Europe, you know, like. I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure it was like, you know, a generational process to turn the oryx into a dairy cow. But I mean, think of all the cheeses and stuff like that in Europe, and it had to be, you know, somewhere like Austria maybe or Germany.
But what would its parents be that would make it not?
Yeah, it was more of a selective breeding. It's not really a hybrid. It's like take the two that are, you know, producing milk and then take the two that are producing milk from those two. So exactly, on and so forth. Until you got one that's just got swollen udders and you can just like milk that.
Yum, yum, yum.
I was going to say bad boy, but you don't want to milk that bad boy.
No. That's not milk.
Milk that fine lady.
Man. Hybrid.
Maybe a ferret. I mean, I like the pet.
But he said muscular endurance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of a ferret when I think of it. Yeah,
that's
true. So I'm trying to think of something that's maybe larger or like strong. Mm-hmm.
There were horses in America already. Maybe it was a chicken?
Ooh, what about like a... Isn't like a donkey or a mule? Aren't they a hybrid? Aren't they... Don't they come from horses, but they were made to... Mm-hmm. Be smaller and usable. They're strong. You use them around farms and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like a donkey or a mule is pretty cute. Can be social.
Yeah. And a donkey.
Is a donkey and a mule the same thing?
I'm not sure.
I don't know either. They're both like small.
Yeah.
Can you imagine
one of them is a hybrid, though, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I think it's the donkey.
Washington's donkey.
Band name, I call it. Sounds like a 1990s bad, like Jimmy's Chicken Shack. Yeah, I was in a band in 1992 called Washington's Donkey.
We opened for Jimmy's Chicken Shack a couple times around Georgia.
We had Kenneth from Pangolin tweeted new band name inspired by the No Nonsense Trivia podcast, Sphincter Scenario.
Yes.
So nice. we can add Washington's Donkey also to the list of band names, I think, generated here. You want to go with Donkey?
Sure.
Donkey.
That's incorrect.
Damn.
You guys were so fucking close.
All right.
A mule is the offspring of a male donkey and a female horse.
Ah, so the donkey. Yeah. I always thought that. All right. There good you to go. Know.
That's what we're here for, baby.
All right.
Thank you for clarifying. Teaching.
You are very welcome.
Beavis and Butthead.
Oh, boy.
A Beavis and Butthead question for you gentlemen.
I was think a we're all huge fans, right? Beavis and Butthead fan growing up.
I had to sneak to watch it when my friend's dad would go to bed. We'd sneak out of the living room and watch it. So. Right on.
I was that child for other people. People like, used to come over to my house.
Spend night at my house, we can watch Beavis and Butthead. Yep, my mom doesn't care.
My mom was like in college and she was like, I'm going to let you watch Beavis and Butthead because I'm writing a paper on it and we're going to have a discussion about it. And I was like, all right. I'll watch some Beavis and Butthead. I'm just a child.
Do you even remember the discussion?
I think it was. It was, you know, something related to like the frog baseball and the news that it had been making and like, you know, did you find that this like influenced you at all or anything like that?
To do
that,
stupid
you know?
Things.
And yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to eat my fucking words here, but I was a pretty big Beavis and Butthead fan. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if I can get stumped here.
Well, this is a bit of a character design detail question that I have. Hmm. Which two bands' shirts are frequently worn by Beavis and Butthead and who wears what?
Well, I feel like that's pretty easy. Isn't AC/DC is Butthead? And Metallica was Beavis.
I believe that's right.
Because I had that Metallica shirt, which I still to this day think is the coolest Metallica shirt.
Yeah.
It was just the blue Beavis shirt that said Metallica.
That's very cool.
And then they ended up changing. Didn't they change the band names later on, though? Or, like, made generic band names?
I think they had just words.
Oh, okay.
Like rock and something.
What's his name? Wore the Ween shirt.
I think there's a lot of character models, especially.
Are you talking about Winger?
Winger. Was it Winger?
That's what Stewart would wear.
Okay, that's he
would
what I wear was the thinking Winger of. Winger, shirt. Winger. Okay.
Yeah, Ween is cool. Though okay. Ween did pop up for, that's the first time I ever heard Ween, was Push the Little Daisies when it was on there.
They're just ripping the video apart.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. it's definitely AC/DC and Metallica,
mm-hmm.
and AC/DC is Butthead,
mm-hmm.
and Metallica is Beavis.
Mm-hmm.
That is correct.
Nice.
That is correct. You'd be surprised at how many teams could get the bands but had them flipped. And also, we're very confident because we do a double, you know, you can double one of your answers. And that was one that our live trivia, several teams doubled that but had the who was wearing what flipped.
I feel like that's one of those, what do they call it, that effect where you remember something wrong.
The Mandela effect?
Yeah, yeah. Like mm-hmm. you can
that's like a false memory, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say this. I think that the reason being is because I feel like most people think that Butthead is the smarter of the two, and it's shocking that and I think a lot of people think of AC/DC as the dumber of the two bands. So I think that like people think that Butthead being the leader should have Metallica because they're the better band,
mm-hmm.
and Beavis being kind of like the dumber of the two, he's the one that should be wearing AC/DC because they're kind of a dumber.
But I think now that's a college paper right there. Yes, that's a college paper.
I think more Beavis is liking Metallica because he's just like, yeah, like it's like so fast. You know
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah. But it totally makes sense. Yeah.
I don't know.
I was just getting into the psychology. We're getting into these people's brains.
Deep dive.
Yeah. A deep dive with Mark Davis. And don't grab that drink, Skylar.
I know.
It's your turn for a question.
Well, I was going to wet my whistle.
I'm sorry.
In the licensed products, like the toys and action figures and stuff, I think they had to remove the band name entirely. Yeah. So there is a few different versions. If you look on like DVD covers and stuff like that, they don't have the band name on it, I think because of probably licensing.
I wonder if they got away with it for the movie, because that was such a huge movie.
I think they would probably pay for the license for the movie, but since Metallica? It's like the pure product. But if you're making like a toy, like, and they're not even making the toy, it's like some toy maker that's like, I want to make Beavis and Butthead toys, and they make it. And the MTV is like, ooh, you probably can't have Metallica and AC/DC on their shirts unless you talk to them. And they're like, we can just remove it. And they're like, that's good with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I'm like picturing it more and more. I can see Beavis with the black or the Butthead with the black shirt, mm-hmm. and the thick yellow writing for AC/DC.
Yeah.
Little lightning bolt. AC/DC's fucking logo. That shit's tight.
Absolutely.
AC, DC, even though it's such a dumb name, kind of, but it's not.
But it fits the band.
Oh, so yeah, well. Absolutely. Well, it didn't help that they, or didn't hurt that they, like, had a bunch of songs that were, like, about power, yeah. electricity and shit.
Power up!
All right. Well, my turn, right?
Yep.
All right, well, so I guess let's stick with the music theme. All right. So due to the original name sounding too much like a cuss word, Green Onions by Booker T and the MGs was first titled what?
One more time.
Due to the original name sounding too much like a cuss word, Green Onions by Booker T and the MGs was first titled what?
Shallots.
Sounds like a cuss word.
Well, like
shallots. Hmm. I mean, that's adjacent. It's a similar vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Green onions and shallots. But I wonder if it's not food related at all. Green Onions. That song was used, I think the first place I heard that was like a, oh man.
The Sandlot or something.
Maybe it was in the Sandlot. I was thinking of the late night movie where they would cook on TNT. They would do like a cooking show.
Oh,
and a movie.
Yeah. I used to love that.
What was that show called?
I don't know. I'm so
done with that song after playing it so much.
Oh yeah. That makes sense.
Never want to hear it again.
It was a B-side. They threw on because they needed one. The bass player was like,
recorded
on a
Hammond
this.
M3.
Yeah.
Which I had one that now resides in Caleb's recording studio.
Ass. Fuck. Shit.
Fuck cheeks.
What could it be? I mean, so we need to figure out a curse.
And green then, dicks.
Green dicks.
Could
green.
It be greens? No, because it can't be a bad word. That's the selling one. This is a hard fluck question. Mother flucker.
Do you think it's intentional like that, or do you think it was like a benign name that then the label was like, oh,
I think it's probably a benign
sounds
name.
Too much like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You
can't name your song Wet Plussy. We'll never sell it. Green Onions.
Green Onions.
This is a good question. I don't know this piece of trivia.
I honestly learned it from a Did You Know on like Spotify or something. Or
oh, okay.
Like you know, like you play like, video you, type yeah, thing. Yeah, you play like a on you know you like on your app on your TV and you play a song and while it's playing it's like this band formed here. It's like a little sentence, I saw it on there.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right off. Do you mind a little criticism?
Yeah, I rewrote this question seven times.
He does mind,
but I want to hear it.
Well, what I think I would have done is I would have said what instrumental song released in 19 whatever was originally titled blah.
Oh, okay.
Because I feel like the guessing an instrumental song from around this age is easier than guessing a word
that sounds like a cuss.
Like a cuss word, because my brain is just going all over the fluckin' place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The fluckin' pace. Just make a word up.
Well, it's got to be like damn is too
holy
soft.
Holy ship?
Holy ship? I mean, as good a guess as any, right? Like,
yeah.
But does that song, I mean, it's, and that's the other thing is like, maybe it's just hearing that song and that title, but like, that song is Green Onions. It's hard to think of another name for that song.
Could it be food related? Assassin.
Asparagus. Aspair. Agus.
Ass bear. Hell yeah.
Seems like you just want to name this song a vegetable, but you went out of your way to make it a curse. What's going on here? Yeah, I don't know. Holy ship.
Holy ship.
I'm drawing a blank on this one.
Wrong.
It was Funky Onions.
Funky Onions. They made him change that?
All right, then you know what? I was hard wrong on that because Funky Onions would... If you said what instrumental song was originally called Funky Onions,
yeah,
people would get it immediately.
Yeah, that would be a pretty easy one. Yeah. But yeah,
that's why I did it.
We're not in the read my question, but this is a either note or you don't type thing.
Yeah.
You know. Okay. But that's interesting.
Nothing wrong with that.
Funky Onions. I'm mad though that they made him change it. I kind of wish it was called Funky Onions.
I think
Onions.
I remember saying that the label's owner was like, especially at that time, was like real religious and it was just too
Funky Onions. Mm-mm.
Here's your next
How about
question.
Nice fresh green ones?
I don't know. This may be one that you know right off. I don't know. What is the name of the horse in the Neverending Story?
Oh, that's, is it Atreyu?
No. I think Atreyu is the name of the boy, right?
Wait, hold on. I remember him yelling the horse's name while it's slowly drowning in mud.
And it's not Falcor.
No, that's the dog dragon.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Do you know it?
It's a name that tugs on your heartstrings.
He as knows it.
The horse descends and sinks because...
He's sad.
He's a sad horse. He's too sad to go horse. On. And his name is Artex.
I've never guessed that.
Artex.
Oh, yeah, okay, now I hear it.
You're letting the sadness of the swamp overtake you. Artex. I think...
What a sad...
I think his name is Artex.
That's correct.
All right. And that scene just always fucked me up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the fucking club.
I hadn't seen...
That should be a test for... trying to determine whether kids are psychopaths. Put them in front of that movie, and if they have no reaction to that scene, then put them away in prison. Just immediately and preemptively.
Dr. Mark is here.
Yeah, I'm here. Deep dive.
He's writing college papers.
With a lab coat and glasses and a briefcase with a VHS. Where's the boy?
Yeah. I hadn't seen that movie in a while, and then I was at like a party at the Charles Mansion. You remember the Charles Mansion in Tallahassee?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Venue. I was at a Halloween party, and they were playing that movie on the projector, and that scene came on, and I was just standing there drinking and going, God damn. Was I drinking? No, I was eating a Jell-O shot. My bad.
That's similar, but different. That's what you do in Tallahassee, right?
Yeah. At the Halloween party. Crying over Artex.
At the bar. Sucking on a Jell-O shot.
Higher than giraffe pussy. Crying about Artex.
Sadness. All right. A food question.
Okay.
I'm going to get this wrong. I'll take a nap.
80s food. 80s, okay. 80s bread.
Oh, 80s shit. Bread. 80s bread.
What kind of Italian loaf was invented in 1982 as a response to the popularity of French baguettes? What kind of Italian loaf was invented in 1982 as a response to the popularity of French baguettes?
I saw this question somewhere.
I'm going to say off the cuff, I can think more about it, but I would say ciabatta because that was such like a 90s like thing. Everything was ciabatta. So I can see it getting popular over like the course of the 80s, and it resembles, it's not as round, but it's long, you know, it's got the crust, but it's a little softer in the middle. I can see ciabatta.
Baguette is hard, yes?
Yeah, it's like crusty outside, usually a little softy on the inside.
Focaccia?
No, because that's not... Focaccia
is kind of made flat, isn't it?
Yeah, it's super oil, like super fatty, a lot of oil. And it's not like I'm thinking of something. It's got to be like... He said loaf, and that's not a loaf.
Right.
And I can't think of any other... loaf that's got a 80s, distinct though? Name. You'd be surprised sometimes things that are ingrained in our head, like food, and you think that's got to be around forever, and you're like, that was invented in the 90s? Tiramisu was invented in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, and you think, oh, that's a classic.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Well, the 80s by now is a classic.
That's crazy, yeah, 40 years ago.
40 years ago? Ciabatta, huh? Bruschetta's made with...
Well, bruschetta's a tomato.
Dish. Yeah, but like the bread it comes with. What is that?
That's usually just like a baguette. I don't know. I don't know any other name for it than a baguette.
Baguettes are Italian?
French.
This is the Italian response.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go with it. Let's go with ciabatta. We're going to say ciabatta.
Chaboy is right. Hey. It's ciabatta.
Ciabatta's a win. Thanks.
From Wikipedia, ciabatta bread was first produced in 1982 by Arnaldo Cavallari, who called the bread ciabatta polisana after Polisine, the area he lived in. The recipe was subsequently licensed by Cavallari's company, Molini Adriesi, to bakers in 11 countries by 1999.
Damn.
That's good. Licensed the recipe.
I can't imagine inventing a new fucking bread.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's some like baller shit right there.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's a newer brand.
Yeah.
Okay.
We make like the fucking cronut, you know what I mean? Like, Jesus Christ.
Hey, man, there's pride in the cronut.
Yeah, just don't diss the cronut, bro.
I mean, he'll die when Instagram's dead. All right, let's see. My turn. All right, let's do a 90s TV show question.
You said, my turn.
Let's see. Which Seinfeld main character, later appearing in 169 episodes, did not appear in the pilot episode?
Can I hear it one more time?
Which Seinfeld main character, later appearing in 169 episodes, did not appear in the pilot episode?
Have you seen the pilot?
No.
I have. There's a character that appears in the pilot that does not appear in the other episodes, which is a witty and curt waitress at the diner. But this question is not about her. No. It's about her inverse. A question that does, or a character that does not appear in the first episode and later appears in almost every episode. I think every episode after that.
I don't know how many episodes.
I think so. There's maybe an episode without Kramer later on. It's very rare that all four characters are not in an episode. So this is a matter of distinction. And the answer is Jerry's weird sometimes girlfriend, Elaine. Elaine.
I was thinking Elaine would be added afterward because they need some feminine energy in there.
Yeah, there was the whole pilot is about Jerry not knowing if somebody coming to visit him, if a woman coming to visit him, if she wants to, like, you know, if it's a romantic thing or if they're just friends. And so the whole episode, he's like mulling it over with George. Like,
I'm surprised you remember that. I remember that just because I recently watched it. But
yep,
I started from episode one from the pilot on.
That was one of those shows I thought I was going to buy all the DVDs, but I only ended up watching or buying the first set that was season one and two and just rewatching that over.
We in our household, big Seinfeld household, we had the whole set. Remember, it came in the fridge. It looked like a mini fridge with the magnets on it. We had that whole thing.
We're going to say Elaine.
That's correct. And it's funny because the diner also, they decided to not use that waitress as the female character, you know, because she was supposed to be returning.
Yep.
And then they also...
You could tell they were giving her a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, like, and they also changed the diner they were in to Monks. That was original, I can't remember what it was called, but it changed to Monks.
Yeah. And the diner that is the exterior of that, Tom's Restaurant, I think is what it is. That is the diner from Tom's Diner, the song. In real life.
I didn't know that. I was in a new metal band that covered that song.
Hell yeah.
Nevaeh covered that.
Yes.
Sick. It's so stupid.
Yeah. I saw that live.
Do you remember?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
I remember. I think I saw you guys do it at Breakers.
It's so stupid. Yeah.
The stuff we do when we're young.
All right. I think that's round one.
All right. Let's take a break, and then we're going to come back with some miscorrections, or at least one miscorrection.
We had a big one.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Oh, no.
And then a no note as well.
And then a whole second extra round
of trivia. Right, we're back, and it's time for some missed corrections.
Miscorrections.
Okay, we heard from a few people, notably first Spencer the Chef wrote in an email shortly after our last episode went up and said, I just finished episode 177 when Mark asked what Christian denomination was begun by John Wesley in 1738. You said the Mormons were started by John Smith. It was actually Joseph Smith. You said the Latter-day Saints were Jehovah's Witness. Latter-day Saints are Mormons. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the full name of that church. They are called Mormons because their book is of Scripture is the Book of Mormon. The Mormon Church began in April 6, 1830. Not really a miscorrection, but I know you like to have the correct information. That is true, Spencer. Mm-hmm. Thank you for writing in. Sarah Ritz also writing in about this, softening the blow by adding that it's a common confusion. Much appreciated, Sarah. And I also said that there were about 60 bones in the skeleton. there, or in the spine, there are actually 80 bones of the axial skeleton that form the vertical axis of the body, and 33 of them are in the spine.
Damn.
So just a clarification there. The Edgar Allan Poe story that I was searching for that I couldn't find, the name of was The Cask of Amontillado.
Oh, yes.
And also, I think I spelled Chuck Wepner's name wrong. It's W-E-P-N-E-R. And Sheryl Sanders. I called her Sheryl Sanders, the CEO of Facebook. This is the second time this has happened on the podcast. Her name is Sheryl Sandberg.
Oh,
Sheryl Sandberg.
Gotcha.
And finally, we have a no note here from Magic City Mo. Mo writes, Haley and Mark, congrats on the new baby and the new house, respectively.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if this is a no note. Oh, you better believe it is, Mo. But it's about the nuts and bolts of trivia, so here we go. I was at a trivia night in a bar in Fort Lauderdale, and the quizmaster asked, quote, what is the name of the whale in Free Willy? Unquote. Many tables started debating amongst themselves if it was a trick question. Players started going up to the quizmaster and asking him, do you mean the name of the fictional whale in the movie, or the real whale who portrayed Willy? And to everyone who came up and asked him that, he just smiled and reread the question verbatim. What is the name of the whale in Free Willy? Turns out the answer was Kiko. He was looking for the name of the real killer whale. About half the room let out annoyed grunts and groans, and the other half sighed in relief. So in your opinion, should he have made that clear?
Yes.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
That's just being a dick.
And yeah, and the fact that he just smiled at them and just reread the question like, you poor thing. Mm-hmm. Like,
wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, and it's like, just be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Because this could be a trick question.
We also don't exactly know what he's asking.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I can understand if you don't want to deviate from the question and change it, but maybe you can say, I'll accept both answers. You know, that's another way of getting around it. If you don't want to clarify for whatever reason. But I totally agree. That is a situation. Sometimes I will make a clarification if a team points out something like that. I might amend a question on the fly, or I might accept multiple answers for something like that. Let's see here. Mel continues, is it worth his personal enjoyment to confuse and potentially mess up the scores of multiple teams? No, it's not worth it. That's not your job as a quizmaster. I mean, obviously we all enjoy it, and I think we've talked a few times about, you know, having a slight amount of sadistic glee in having the power of being the quizmaster. But this is just a gross display of power here, I think. You know, this is not, it's removing the fun from it. And it's different than, like, say, if I don't accept Republic as an answer when Republics is the correct answer, because those are two different concepts and they're not both right. You know, there's no context in which both can be right. One is right and one is wrong. This is framing a question in a way where there could be two correct answers. The name of the real-life whale, as well as the whale in the movie.
The only leg he really has a stand on is that the name of the whale in the movie would be too easy. But again, I mean, like, you don't know that they're not just trying to be clever. And so it completely throws everything off balance. It's this, mm-hmm. this is beyond the pale. This is not like using the term glitter, the adjective glittery on an answer that's glitter, or naming Beyonce in a list where Beyonce is the answer, because you can still get that answer from some other way. So, yeah, you know, if you knew the name of the machinist that invented glitter, or you knew that Beyonce was the one who broke that record or whatever, then it doesn't matter that it's trickily worded. You just know because you read and pay attention. That, there's no way to know what the inflection is. That's I want to go to that trivia and I want to yell at that guy.
Let's do it. Road trip.
Mo continues, this definitely reminds me of the glittery glitter question.
No way. Completely different.
I like how you used that in your explanation. That came right back up.
He saw it coming.
Yeah.
He saw it coming. Put up his hand. But yeah, he says, there was prize money at stake, so it seems like a sucky thing to do. Some players stated that they knew the real whale was called Keiko. But is it Kiko or Keiko?
I think it's Kiko, but I mean, it sounds Hawaiian, so it, I could be mispronouncing it.
But they answered Willie just in case it was a sneaky trick question. I mean, you could get into a debate like, is Willie the name of the whale that the kid gives it? And maybe there's another name that we're not thinking of, like it has a different name. It's very confusing.
And this is why you need to, as a trivia writer, you need to know what the question is that you're trying to get an answer for and tell them what it is. Like,
yeah,
you need qualifiers.
What is the name of the whale that played the title character in Free Willy? That's it. That doesn't even meet Pibbs, but it's a much better question.
doesn't even crack Pibbs.
Doesn't even crack Pibbs.
But I mean, no, you're exactly right. And let me ask you a question. Do you think that question is like the glitter question?
It is like it, but different in a way. The glitter question is not a fair question. You know, this is not a fair question. You're either.
You're absolutely wrong.
We don't need to retrench this, but
do you know about the glitter question?
I recall.
What glittery material was invented by such and such?
There are other ways to know the answer. There's no other ways to know the answer in the way that question is written.
Mark's right about
that. As hard as you want to be on the glitter question or the Beyonce question, there are ways to get the actual answer aside from whatever hints are being dropped in it. That there's no other way to know, because the whole thing that holds that question up in being tough, arguably as far as one of them, is whether or not it's being sneaky. And like you said, he could have just said, I'm obviously not going to ask you Willie's name because it's in the title. But he enjoyed, like you said, it's like the Hannibal Lecter of fucking trivia questions. It's like playing fucking with their mind.
Yes, there's a sadistic bent here.
Yes,
and absolutely. And that's, it's almost not about the question. It seems like it's more about the quizmaster's behavior, especially if there's prize money at stake. Anytime, I mean, we play for free prizes. That's the whole impetus into try and make it a fair game in the first place, is because there is a victor that gets more than just the glory. You are giving out some tangible goods, so you really want to shore up your questions and make sure that they are, you know, fit to stand this, you know, this kind of resistance. And if you face it, give in, you know, recognize when you're in the wrong.
Because it would be easy to tell that he was actually interested, because the what's the name of the actual whale is a great fucking question. That's a great question.
And it's ruined.
It's ruined by this fucking, by him just wanting to fucking jerk off at the idea of people being like, oh, I can't tell if he's being tricky or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, what a fucking bummer to have that question just blown by this jackass. I hate this guy.
Yeah.
Let's kill him.
Sorry to hear that, Mo. Mo continues. Let me know what you think. I think we did.
Yep.
Thanks so much for the podcast, guys. Looking forward to whatever you end up doing for the big 200th episode. You the best. Magic City Mo.
MCM. Miami. You know they call Miami the Magic City?
They do. Orlando.
Not Orlando.
I remember that question.
that was like the second or third episode.
Yep. Whew. Oh yeah, Mo's been with us for a while.
How far we've come.
All right. If you'd like to write us with a missed correction, a rate my question, or even just a little no note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966 or find us on social media. And if you wouldn't mind, just take a moment right now, if you haven't yet, go leave us a review on Apple, Podchaser, or Good Pods. 5 stars, please.
Welcome to Good Pods, home of the Good Pods. Can I take your order? I just want to let everybody know that George Jetson will be conceived around this time. According to the cartoon world, he's born on August 27th, 2022. So his parents are having sex.
Yes. Look to the stars and see if you find a little twinkling in the skies.
We're living in the future.
We are. The future's now.
All right. I have a Sex and the City question for you guys.
Oh, hell yeah.
Big fans,
right? I've never seen it.
No?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, this is going to be a true test of my question then, to see if it's sussable.
You get Italian hand there. Big time.
Well, just listen. Another Italian food question coming up in a way. When Samantha gets a chemical peel to look fresh, Carrie agrees by saying she looks like what Italian meat dish that is typically served raw?
Well, I would imagine, tartare, I don't know if that's Italian or French.
Tartare sounds French.
but Italian.
Remember when you gave me shit about saying tartar sauce?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Tartar sauce. This motherfucker thought that tartar and tartar were flipped.
Oh, no.
It happens.
Yeah, I guess so.
Thank you.
Never shame someone for saying something incorrectly. It means they learned it by reading. And I know we talked about that a number of times here.
Yep.
It's been a while since I brought it up.
And boy, do I read a lot.
Or
at least I did.
I can't pronounce anything. So.
Right,
So Italian, normally served raw meat dish.
Raw meat dish it is?
Kind of looks like a face after a chemical peel, according to the show.
Well, I just think that they're referring to raw meat, skinless meat, you know what I mean?
Could it be gabagool?
No. Would cured be considered raw?
I don't know.
I mean, not technically speaking.
I was cured, all right.
I feel like that would almost be too easy of an answer, though. Because there's so many raw meat dishes in the world, and I can't think of what any of them are called, let alone any one that's from that region.
Gonna look all glazed or whatever, like freshly peeled. Rump. Smooth.
Unless a
smooth
fit,
like to the touch.
Maybe like a... like a ceviche, but it wouldn't be called ceviche over there.
I wonder if he would separate seafood from meat. Probably, huh?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Raw meat dish. Come on,
I can't think of any
raw meat Italian thing.
I can't think of any, honestly. Like, we can sit here forever, but I can't think of any of them.
Is Carrie Italian?
What? Carrie?
Isn't that her name?
Oh.
In Sex and the City.
I knew nothing about this show. I'm like,
yeah, I don't know much, but I think that might be true.
Her last name is Bradshaw Liano.
Okay, yeah. No. So she's Italian.
No, it's not. Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh, Carrie Bradshaw. Okay. I thought it was Bradshaw, but when you added the other thing, I was like,
I sold that.
You did. That was good.
Well, the reason I'm asking is I'm trying to think of, like, what kind of answer she would, you know, if she is Italian, it might be something funny, like saying gabagool.
And it's got to be. A funny enough reference. It's got to be a good enough reference that most people are going to get it and think it's funny, because it's Sex in the City in the 90s, right? 90s?
Yeah,
early 2000s,
late 90s.
Is cured meat considered a meat dish?
And raw?
Is this like the Free Willy style question, or what are you trying to accomplish?
I don't know. When you say raw, do you consider a cured meat raw? If it's just sliced and
that's
served?
Not raw.
Okay.
Cured, that's a process.
Okay, I just wanted to know, yeah. I didn't know how your brain worked, you know?
I mean, I would say we have to say tartare.
All right.
Even if we think it's French, which I think it is, it's the only raw meat dish I can think of.
Yeah. If it's like prosciutto or something, I'd be pissed.
We're going to say tartare.
No. She says, yeah, it looks fresh. Your face looks like beef carpaccio.
Beef
carpaccio.
I never would have gotten that in a million years.
Yeah. It's like sliced beef.
The name and sounds very, very, very
olive oil and
kind of familiar. But they say you throw enough monkeys in a room with typewriters and they'll write a book eventually. That would happen sooner than me guessing beef carpaccio.
All right. Really?
I think so.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think I ever
just totally outside
there.
Your radar. That's what we need to make you some beef carpaccio.
There you go.
I wouldn't be against it. I'll give anything a try once. That's not a weird.
Just like Samantha's face.
Yes, indeed. Sydenham chorea, a disorder characterized by rapid, uncoordinated jerking movements, is oftentimes referred to as the dance of what saint? Sydenham chorea. A disorder characterized by rapid, uncoordinated jerking movements is oftentimes referred to as the dance of what saint? Saint whom?
I don't know. I honestly don't really know any of the saints. I'm bad about that. But
there's Anthony. I know. That's a big one. Saint Anthony.
Santhony.
But what do you know enough about the saints to think of what a jerking, like who would think of a saint based off of like a jerking movement? You know what I mean?
I have no idea.
I'll give you a jerking.
I'm at the point where I need to start listing some saints, you know, just to get a like I know none of them. I'm not going to know the answer, but I need to at least formulate a list to come up with a name to submit here. So there was, I know St. Anthony. I think he's like, I looked that up because there's like, he's the patron saint of lost keys or something like that. I was like, what is that about? And I looked it up and he's like really the saint of like finding lost things or something like that. And he might have some other things that he does
too.
Is
Michael a saint? That sounds like it could be.
St. Michael?
St. Michael, yeah.
St. Michael's. I think there was a pub. Yeah, there was a pub in Tallahassee called St. Mike's Pub. So, yeah, I think so.
Hmm. Maybe he was like the fun partier, and that's why he's dancing.
Oh. So, when you went into St. Mike's, there was a giant comic book style mural on the wall that was basically like the Conan the Barbarian or the Luke Skywalker pose, where he's got the sword up, and then there was like a scantily clad babe like clinging onto his leg, and, you know, Castle Grayskull in the background or whatever.
That's cool.
But it wasn't really a dance club. It was like a pool hall, you know, that kind of thing.
I like to dance when I play pool.
Let's see him shimmy it
can
up.
Can I hear the question one more time?
You certainly can. As soon as I bring it up here. Sydenham chorea. Chorea. A disorder characterized by rapid, uncoordinated jerking movements is oftentimes referred to as the dance of what saint?
Maybe it's Elaine from Seinfeld.
I was thinking that.
She's got the Sydenham chorea. Chorea would be the dancing, like choreograph, right? Sydenham? Sydenhamsey?
So choreograph, Sydenhamsey. Dance. It could be just be a saint that represents like a festival or a party, you know what I mean? Like a celebration, like a saint that would, like, you need to know these saints, Lee.
I just don't know them. I don't, my Christianity and Catholicism, like, area of my mind palace is very depleted, or not even depleted. There was nothing there in the first place. It's all just blank shelves. You want to go with Mike?
Sure.
St. Mike, St. Michael.
Sorry, that's incorrect.
Wrong.
What do we got?
St. Vitus.
St. Vitus?
St. Vitus Dance. Yeah, Sydenham chorea, also called St. Vitus Dance, chorea minor, infectious chorea, or rheumatic chorea, a neurological disorder characterized by irregular and involuntary movements of muscle groups in various parts of the body that follow streptococcal infection.
So that's a modern name for it as well. It's still called St. Vitus.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know if it's done a super, super lot. I mean, obviously, it's probably a little bit of a problematic because I'm guessing that the thing is because you're jerking, it looks like you're dancing, but
right. It's
probably not very...
It's not PC.
Back then, they were probably like, you look like you're dancing. Right. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sit down. We'll strap you down and put cocaine in your eye and see if it fixes it.
And back then, you mean when they were inventing ciabatta.
Yeah, exactly.
In 1982. Skylar.
In the 1800s and early 1900s, this vegetable was the third most popular menu item in New York City, just after tea and coffee, often kept in a glass vase on the table to only be salted and eaten raw.
Whoa, you took, okay. Salted and eaten raw. One more time?
In the 1800s and early 1900s, this vegetable was the third most popular menu item in New York City, just after tea and coffee, often kept in glass vases on the table to only be salted and eaten raw.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Being kept in a glass vase makes me think of asparagus.
Hmm. Because it's tall?
Popping up out of it.
Just be sitting there, little vase of asparagus, take one out, salt it.
What's up, Doc? Carrots.
Mm-hmm. Another long vegetable.
I'm thinking long veggies here.
You said after tea and coffee?
That's nuts.
Third most popular menu item in New York City.
Tea, coffee, carrots? Asparagus?
Your pee would smell weird if you drank a bunch of coffee and ate a bunch of asparagus.
Yeah, you're just doing
you'd be shitting up a storm. Oh my God. Pissing smelly.
And that's that New York smell.
I will say, oh, I keep thinking 1980s, not 1900s and 1800s.
Now, let me throw something out there. I know this is technically a fruit, but tomato. Salted tomato. Now, I guess in my mind, maybe that's more of a southern delicacy. But
there's something about tomatoes. There's something about vase.
Every get together, we have a plate of sliced tomatoes.
Did you say it was a vase, or did you say it was
a glass vase?
A glass vase. Oh, okay.
Long boy.
Mm-hmm. Cucumber. Squash.
Salted cucumber is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You said salted and what else?
And eaten raw.
Cucumber. Cucumba. That is a great video. We'll post a link to that if you haven't heard the Cucumba song.
Tea?
Mm-hmm.
Cucumber make your cum taste good, apparently.
Really?
Seems to be one of those things like that in pineapple where they say if you eat a lot of it.
I'll do a self-test.
Joe Rogan
live in 3 weeks. Skyler will be back on
we'll taste his cum.
What his self-fillet show.
Next to a jar of a week full of pineapple, a control week where I eat no pineapple or cucumber.
Vinegar as an alkaline.
Passing it around. I get notes.
Well, you got to offset the coffee and tea somehow, I guess.
I'm getting nutty notes.
Good pun.
Thank you.
Nutty Notes.
Nutty Notes, also a band name.
It's like a polka band notes. Or something. Mark Davis and the Nutty Notes.
All right.
Mark Davasky.
Yeah, you know, maybe cucumbers, maybe, I wonder how long pickles have been around.
Oh, I mean, well, pickles...
This goes back to our raw thing. I mean, that is a pickle is not a raw food.
Well, I will say a pickle is not a raw food, but also that pickle is a preserving technique, not a food.
Well, yeah, but I'm wondering if like maybe this cucumber craze happened in the same time that like pickles started being pickled and sold. Like it was just an all around cucumber.
What if you had like a cucumber in a vase and you put some salt in there and then you just forgot about it and then you came back and you were like, whoa, pickle!
I poured some vinegar in here. Mm-hmm. Oops.
Oops.
Cucumber is good. Carrot's good. Asparagus might be. I hate asparagus, so it's hard for me to say.
I love asparagus.
Did I ever tell you when I was in the hospital, for cellulitis, there was one day they brought me food, and I was like, these green beans are the worst green beans I've ever had in my life. And my ex at the time was like, that's asparagus. I was like, I hate asparagus. That's why these green beans are terrible. It's asparagus. That's why. You want to say cucumber?
I think cucumber is a good guess. When I think of like a New Yorker,
it would have to be a big vase.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. They make big vases.
Them boys is thick. Those but girthy.
Are you going to eat a salted raw carrot and be like, just want more of this?
People eat raw carrots all the time.
People eat raw carrots like crazy.
The most popular non-beverage.
Ooh, what about celery? Salted celery sounds weird, but it sounds like something someone would do to make it actually taste good. And stalks of it coming out of think of a fucking table with a glass vase and celery stalks come out with a leafy end up top, almost looks like a middle like a decoration. Yeah. You pull that bad boy out and salt it and eat it.
Yeah.
Get some peanut butter on there.
Honestly, I'd rather have salted cucumber, but I guess for our answer, you might be right. And on to something here.
You want to go with it?
Sure.
We're going to say celery.
You're right.
Yeah!
Oh, nice.
Yes! Pulling it out of the ether.
Bitch. I was like, no. It's so hard for me to keep a poker face.
Well done. I did not notice anything as far as you're concerned. I don't know where the fuck that came from.
Good thinking, man.
There was you're something right. you I said mean, that like, made top. Me think. Yeah, I was like... You know, yeah, it would make a beautiful
celery decoration. Was more expensive than caviar at the time.
Jesus.
And now there's really only one type of celery. There's actually farmers who are trying to recreate a lot of these lost celeries because they don't ship very well. And they're hard to grow. So they essentially cultivated the celery that we know today, which is delicious. But there used to be, I mean, you would go to the best restaurants in New York City, which are the best restaurants in the world at the time. And yeah, you just get like a fancy thing of celery in a glass vase. And
dude,
you just...
Celery in soup is the shit, and not enough people do it.
I eat almost an entire stalk of celery, like an entire thing of celery.
It's the shit. Yeah. Like a thing of fucking like vegetable soup with big old pieces of celery that are all like softened and like pulling that flavor. Oh boy.
I had like getting me hot and bothered. Cereal bowl size of blue cheese and a whole plate of celery.
I have another cartoon question for you. Not Beavis and Butthead this time, but about the Smurfs. You guys familiar with the Smurfs?
Just the modern movie.
Okay, so you've seen the modern movie?
I have not. Numerous times.
Oh, okay.
I remember some of the cartoons.
All right. Wide cast of characters in the Smurfs. Here's a question about one of them. Which Smurf is often seen in disputes with Brainy Smurf and is known for their characteristic arm tattoo of a heart with an arrow through it?
Yes, he's got the deep voice. Man. Lachlan.
He just cries out his daughter's name.
Well, I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm just going to try to pluck a name out that fits them. Because all their names correspond with their personality most of the time.
Yeah, right? I would say that's true.
And he's like the tough guy, but he's like the lover. Like he's like the heartthrob lover. And what is his name?
Is it Tuffy?
Tuffy Smurf? Tough Smurf? He's in the movie, too. The new adaptation.
He's in the damn movie.
That's why when you said you saw the movie, I was like, ooh.
Yeah,
so he's got a shot. Name.
Tuffy Smurf. Papa Smurf.
But he's also like the one who was, you
Daisy.
Know, he's tough because he lost love, you know? Hence the heart tattoo.
You know? I thought the heart tattoo was just like that he's like Popeye, like just a tough guy.
That's what I get, because I remember in the movie
he's old school, man.
I think his, I remember in the movie he's like protecting the girl Smurf from something, like at one point or something like that.
I mean, the best I've got is Tuffy Smurf. I have no idea. What if his name was just Donald? Like everyone else was like named after
Brainy Smurf, Sleepy Smurf,
always arguing with Smarty Smurf. Well, actually, Smurf. Mansplaining Smurf. Keyboard Warrior Smurf.
Oh, don't man Smurf me.
Smurf Splain. You wouldn't believe it. Tuffy Smurf was Smurf Splaining to me.
Smurf Splaining. Let's go with Tuffy.
We're going to say Tuffy Smurf. Think.
No, I'm sorry. The answer is Hefty Smurf.
Hefty.
Now, a lot of people put down Brawny Smurf.
That'd be a good guess, though.
Yeah, but it's Hefty Smurf. If there's any way that you could maybe add a hint to this question, I might say shares its name with a popular grocery store brand or something like that. But some people know the Smurfs. There was a team that got that right. Wicked right. Bad.
Bitches and Hombres. Mm-hmm. Here's a football question. It's Sunday.
It is.
I'm leaving here and going directly to watch the Titans play the Patriots.
Ooh, that's
going to
be a tough game.
With my friend and friend of the podcast, Tom's.
Quiz Daddy.
Quiz Dad, Tom Scott. Tom Brady broke NFL history recently with 602 regular season touchdown passes a couple weeks ago. Who has thrown the fourth most with 552.
The fourth most?
Mm-hmm.
We're going down the list pretty far there.
Didn't you guys have a question similar to this recently?
It was like second.
Right? You guys, I remember you guys sussing it out for you. I remember you just listing all these quarterbacks. This is like
did
not
we?
That. Not
maybe
that,
maybe we did.
This
maybe
might
we
have
did
been a few months ago.
Fourth most? I mean,
I think the question was who has the most, lot, and you guys found out it was, you came
concluded that.
You don't remember that? I do. Anyway.
Sounds familiar.
The fourth most. So
we got to do so much here. We got to put the top four in order.
Well, let's see. Read it one more time.
Tom Brady recently broke NFL history with over 600 regular season touchdown passes. Who has thrown the fourth most regular season touchdown passes with 552?
All right. So regular season. So let's see here. Let's think of teams that have a long list of being powerful. You know, obviously you have the Steelers. You can have somebody like Roethlisberger. Is that how you say his name?
Roethlisberger.
Like Aaron Rodgers. I was trying to think of people who've been in the game a long time right
now.
Like think of Joe Montana.
Brett Favre.
Even Dan Marino.
Who's the 49ers guy? It's not Jerry Rice. It's Young?
Scott Young.
Scott Young?
No. What's his name?
Steve Young. Joe Montana.
But no, I wouldn't say one of them. I would say Joe Montana's a good guess. He's got to be in up there. It's kind of a shot in the dark right now. You have like Peyton Manning.
Mm-hmm. Man. I think Peyton Manning...
I also want to say it's someone newer because this is a quarterback heavy NFL right now.
Mm-hmm.
It used to not be that way. It was the running backs, you know, who were getting, you know, a lot of the touchdowns. So I think some of the more modern, like Aaron Rodgers, okay. Peyton Manning. I wouldn't even be surprised if Eli Manning. Huh? I don't think he has a lot of. I'm bad with sports. I'm just trying to think of modern.
Right.
Brett Favre would be a good one. I said Aaron Rodgers. I don't know.
Why is he asking about the fourth?
Yeah, that's weird. It's just like a who's second? I don't know who second is. These are all guesses that could be second as well. That's the hard part.
Yeah, that's but it makes you wonder.
Had 500. They weren't far off. So 580 something. I think that 82.
Right? I thought it was 480 and 5. Can we hear one more time?
Tom Brady broke NFL history recently with over 600 regular season touchdown passes. Who has thrown the fourth most with 552 regular season touchdown passes?
So like 48 difference.
It's all very close.
A couple seasons, you know. Mm-hmm.
But why fourth? That's just such a weird, like, it seems like it's like it should tell you something, like it's a hint, but I don't know if there's anything there.
I would say maybe another, you know, Patriot or Bucks quarterback, but the only other like decent or good Patriots quarterback I can think of would be like long term would be Bledsoe, and nobody on the Bucks I can think of that was worthwhile as quarterback unless you want to count Winston.
I feel my gut for whatever reason went to Brett Favre, but Joe Montana.
I feel like John Montana might be closer to the top, so I can go with Brett Favre.
Okay, let's do it. Brett Favre.
That's correct.
Oh! Whoa! Nice.
That's Ali.
Number one, Tom Brady with 693 now.
Oh, whoa. Jeez, whoa.
Drew Brees was number two with 608. I forgot
about that little man.
Which I didn't make.
Shaqarian Brees.
I will give you a look inside my mind as to why I made the fourth. Obviously, number one was Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Most people knew that he surpassed Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they, okay. I didn't want to do one or two.
Okay.
Three, I thought was still a little bit obvious. So I didn't want to make it. So I didn't want to make that the answer.
Who's three?
Peyton Manning.
Oh, okay.
Number three with 579.
Too obvious.
Brett Favre, 552. Aaron Rodgers, 478 and climbing. And Dan Marino, your man, Dan the man, 452.
Aces
that's
out.
In one, sixth place.
That's one. Dan Marino was one I was thinking, but I never said. I don't know why. I guess I just didn't have faith that he would be in the top.
Well, I did four. Mention him, but you.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my
he's,
bad.
He's always forgotten. It's okay.
I heard you mention him, and I thought you might follow that down, but you didn't.
Okay. Shit, is it my turn next?
It is.
This is one I feel like, this conspiracy theory, but I feel like this might be up Lee's alley. All right. In 1992, a conspiracy theory surrounding Microsoft's Windings application started after the realization that the character sequence of what popular major cities abbreviation rendered a skull and crossbones, Star of David, and thumbs up symbols. It's a lot to unpack. I can read it again.
Please, one more time.
In 1992, a conspiracy theory surrounding Microsoft's Windings application started after the realization that the character sequence of what popular major cities abbreviation rendered a skull and crossbones, Star of David, and thumbs up symbols.
I think I know this.
Well, you got three characters here for a three-letter abbreviation. You want to say what those three letters are on three?
One, two, three. NYC. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that... I remember hearing about that.
Mm-hmm. This is scratching in my mind palace as well.
I mean, it could be other stuff. I mean, there are some like LAX, mm-hmm. you know, for Los Angeles, you know, like people, places up.
That's the airport distinction, though.
Yeah, well, a lot of people use the airport distinction mm-hmm. for like a city or mm-hmm. For whatever.
MIA, you know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, missing in action.
I think it's New York City. I think I remember reading this at some point.
We're going to say New York City.
That's correct.
All New right. York City.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, I people thought it was like, you know, due to the large Jewish population there and blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. And then there's a later theory about the same thing that if you put the flight number or something for 9/11, the first flight to hit the tower, it shows a plane with like two stacks of paper that could resemble.
People are fucking nuts.
Yeah. So I guess after
ever
this,
look at Wingdings.
I was looking at Wingdings every time anything happens. I'll crunch the numbers and throw it through Wingdings and see what I get. This one has a bomb with a thumbs down and a.
Of course, Microsoft was like, it's totally random. Like, you know how those applications work, right? It's just
I'm not sure who designed Wingdings or why they chose what letters that they did, but I think that I would put that under coincidence.
Yeah, it's just like an emoji essentially. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they, I guess they went back and changed it to make it, when you type NYC, it's an eyeball, a heart, and then an apple.
Oh, there you go. So Now they're putting meaning into it, though.
Yeah.
It's almost working against them. It's like, wait, so you're willing to put meaning?
That's just turned Wingdings on its head.
Yeah.
Now if anything does happen, and it's like, oh, they repurposed all the letters to these different things.
10 years later, when 9/11 happened, someone went back in there and typed the flight numbers in and was like, look what it shows.
Wingdings is woke.
I remember seeing one that was like a building and a bomb and something, and I was like, oh, even 20-year-old me was like, do you fucking stop it, please? This is embarrassing.
Man, put your mental power somewhere else.
Let's put our mental powers towards some Rate My Questions right after we take a little break. Right, we're back, and it's time for some Rate My Questions. All right, first up, we have a question here from Quiz Daddy Adam Volk. Adam writes, hello, gentlemen. I've been powering through all the old episodes and have been enjoying all of them. If I ever find myself back in Southwest Florida, I'd definitely love to visit y'all at one of your events. And we'd love to have you, Adam. He continues, this is a fairly niche bit of trivia, but I think many of our friends will enjoy it if it's not something they already know. John Worster, better known as the drummer of Superchunk, as well as the Mountain Goats, was mentioned by name in a song released in 1988 by what American punk band? John Worster, better known as the drummer of Superchunk, as well as the Mountain Goats, was mentioned by name in a song released in 1998. By what American punk band?
98. Superchunk was already around for a while then.
John Worster is also, I think, in the podcasting community. He's friends with Tom Sharpling.
Oh, okay.
Very funny guy.
Great drummer.
1988.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking 98,
I thought you said 98, too. 88, okay.
I hope I didn't misspeak. 1988.
John Worster.
Punk bands of 88. Where are they from? Let's think of where's like Superchunk or Mountain Goats are from, and think of any punk bands from that area.
Mountain Goats, he didn't play with the Mountain Goats until later. Okay. John Darnielle started doing Mountain Goats as a solo thing for a long time, and I think that John Worster hooked up with them sometime in like the 2000s. So I don't think closeness to where he is from matters much. When I think 88 American punk, I mean, you're thinking New York City or you're thinking LA probably. Punk is also a terribly generic term. I shouldn't say generic term, but
maybe not in 88,
an arguable term. I don't know, man. I mean, you're talking at that time, if you're calling new wave punk,
you can call like Blondie punk, and then you can call, you know,
Talking Heads punk. You can call the Minutemen punk. You can call, there's a lot of stuff that is labeled punk and was coming out on SST records and stuff that wasn't like,
that's a good point.
You know,
really,
and John Worster being in Superchunk, I feel like that they're a relatively, you know, left of center band where it could very easily be a band like that.
Some kind of like art rock band, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody in the world would describe They Might Be Giants as punk, but
well, you mean like Violent Femmes, you know what I mean?
Maybe
Dead Milkmen.
Violent Femmes from Virginia or something like that. Yeah. I think
they're from Richmond.
I was thinking of Punk Rock Girl and how they name drop Mojo Nixon. And I was like, they seem like, you know, they might be into putting real life people's names into songs.
Dead Milkmen.
Mm-hmm. But why would his name come up then? Seems like he wasn't really notable. Even Supertrunk was never a huge band, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, in 1988...
Mojo Nixon, though, is not very big in the mainstream.
I mean, I think Supertrunk and stuff like that, they've been relatively big with people that in the know, in mm-hmm. the music community. You know, I think that... You know, kind of like Yola Tango or something like that. Yeah. Not a band that's necessarily huge, but a band that the Dead Milkmen would know. A band that, you know, the Ramones?
Lyrically, though, Ramones are so simple. I can't imagine them name-dropping anybody.
Maybe not.
They're just like,
Doggonna get...
Well, they also have, like, you know, Judy the Punk. You know what I mean?
Like, that's true.
And they have... There's another song that has a woman's name in it.
What does Worcester rhime with? Maybe this is a clue in here.
I was thinking that. I was wondering about that. I was like, Furster?
Like, if there was a song called Thurster or something like that, maybe. Maybe this could be some kind of like...
Drummond, like, my name's John Worcester. Watch out, because my dick is a burster.
Nice. That's the actual lyric.
Wait, that's definitely that Dead Milkmen.
Yeah.
Or the Dwarves.
I also know Adam very well. Adam is an old dear friend of mine. We were in a Weezer cover band for a very short time. And he is, I think, still very good friends with Laura Jane Grace. We used to play in Fort Myers all the time. We have any Against Me listeners. They started in Fort Myers and Naples.
I still have the original cassette tape.
Got to see her back in the day playing with drummer playing a bucket and her playing guitar.
Wow.
Buster style. Like the Chocolate Schmooze, or was that prior to that?
She played a bunch at Higher Learning Records.
That's right, Higher Learning. Okay.
And Raspberries, which I played with like Table 9 in like 1999 or something, 98.
Yep. That was when I first started going to shows, 8th grade.
Very, very cool shit. I don't know, man. I think that you know who else I'm getting an idea of? And I think... For some reason, I'm getting a gut feeling this might be the right answer. The Replacements. Don't know if they'd really fall into punk as a style, though. I mean, they're definitely punk adjacent. But I could see them, knowing John Worcester, I could see them
Replacements dropping is a good name. One, yeah.
Yeah, I mean... I can't hardly wait to answer this question.
Hey, this guy.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm cool with the Replacements. I mean, my gut just says Dead Milkmen. I don't want to go with my gut too much.
Well, let's go with Dead Milkmen. I don't
want to undo my gut's good work on the Brett Favre question.
I feel like Dead Milkmen and Dead Milkmen and the Replacements share a headspace with me. Mm-hmm. They're different, but they're both similar in some way.
I feel like the Dead Milkmen are more comedic and therefore more prone to, like,
why do you think the mention has to be funny?
It doesn't have to be. I think that mentions, though, in general are a way to, like, it's I don't want to say it's lowbrow, but
or it's like a fun just a fun thing to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, like I mean, it might not be a funny thing, but given his proximity to podcasts and Tom Sharpling and stuff, sounds like he might be a funny guy.
Maybe they're calling him a dick in this song.
Yeah.
Maybe he is a dick. All right, we'll go with Dead Milkmen. You cool with Dead Milkmen?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Punk Rock Girl is the best punk love song of all time.
Aww. We are correct.
Oh, hey. Look at you.
Stewart by the Dead Milkmen.
Oh, holy shit.
Let's see if I can find his name in here.
Seth Ford screaming at his radio.
You know that Johnny Punching Worcester kid, the kid that delivers papers in the neighborhood? He's a foreign kid. Some of the neighbors say he smokes crack, but I don't believe it. So that is his mention in that song.
Nice.
Stuart, you're not like all the other people here at the trailer park. Now I'm going to listen to Dead Milkmen on my way home.
All right.
Listen to a lot of them on the truck.
Yes.
Well, How do we rate this?
I'll give it an A minus, only because it's pretty obscure. As far as like my issue would be scarcity of people that would be in the knowledge of something like this. It would be great for a punk rock trivia, A+. As far as like a generalized trivia, I think it's a little too open-ended. I think it might be a little too specific. So I'd give it an A-.
Okay. Yeah, I would give this a PIBS. All lowercase PIBS. It's lowercase popular, like you mentioned. I think this would go over well at Ollie's, this question, a record shop. You know, you're having trivia at a record shop, this is a fine question. But at Pointy Bell, a brewery that might have like a lot of transplants from like the Midwest and stuff that are maybe of the boomer age, they're not going to know this. They're not even going to have heard of the Dead Milkmen, no. Probably.
Right.
So you really got to know your demographic for this question. Lowercase I, it is somewhat interesting. A connection between bands across time is interesting. Built-in hint, American punk band kind of narrows the field, so you're not looking over.
And maybe like American comedic punk band or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, let's see here. Had a hit with Punk Rock Girl. Yeah. You know, some kind of entrance to people that are, you know, not music aficionados like us that might, you know, have an entry into sussing this. And is it short and sweet? It's almost perfectly worded. I would just maybe change the phrase, was mentioned by name in a song released in 1998 by what American punk band to just saying a 1988 song by what American punk band. Just shorten it up a little bit, you know. It's not a big deal. So I give that lowercase PIBS. Not really an X factor question.
I mean, I think it's interesting. I'd give it a capital I for myself.
I give it a lowercase I. I mean, it's somewhat interesting, but it's not the most interesting thing in the world.
Well, there's interesting in general and interesting to me. It's very interesting to me. But I think you're
probably
right.
If I didn't think it was any interest at all, I would not give it an I.
You'd just be PBs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
Do you want to tell the people?
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or a miscorrection, please do so at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com or call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Skylar!
During the Battle of Gugamela, King Darius of Persia sent Alexander the Great a bag of sesame seeds to symbolize the number of his troops. Alexander responded by sending what seed to symbolize a more potent and fiery army?
Fiery. Oh. That's going to give you a capital B for PIBS because I think that's a built-in hint. Jalapeno seeds? Habanero seeds?
Those are fiery, for sure. If this is a capital B, I'm definitely picking up what you're putting down.
I mean, he couldn't have said fiery. I'm trying not to pay attention because I know he says he doesn't have a good poker face. So I'm trying to like.
It seems likely. That is a very specific word. You don't just pull that out, you know, if you don't mean fiery. My first thought was mustard seeds because they are quite potent, but.
And he knows that you love mustard.
Mm-hmm. I actually got a little gift of some pickled mustard seed last time I picked up some Death by Taco. Skylar came in. He's like, oh, good, you're still here. And gave me a little cup.
And, a sweet boy, that's
great. He's like, put that on your next charcuterie board.
It'd be great on an Italian sub.
Mm-hmm.
Made by yours truly. Mustard is a good answer. I mean, mustard is sesame seeds...
I mean, if somebody sends me sesame seeds and you send back mustard seeds, that is a pretty big jump in potency.
Well, the other thing I was thinking, my first guess was watermelon seeds because I was thinking of something big. Oh. Something to be like, oh, check this shit out. But then he used the word fiery and I was like, it's got to be something spicy.
Yeah.
And mustard could be.
Watermelon seeds. They don't make those anymore.
Watermelon seeds. Couple musicians out there might get that.
Jalapeno, habanero.
The other thing we have to consider, were these things then?
And were they in the Mediterranean region? That's mustard seed, definitely.
I think we should go with mustard seed. I think not trying to look too into the ASCII, but him knowing about your love for mustard It is a spicy boy.
Mm-hmm.
It is seeds. It is in the area. I think it might be our best bet. I mean, it could be peppers in general, because they do have green peppers and, you know,
the bell pepper.
Yeah. Cucumber seeds.
What if I sent sesame seeds though, and somebody sent me back bell pepper seeds, I'd be like, I got you, motherfucker. Sending me bell pepper seeds.
Fuck you.
I got the better seed here.
That's what if it was sperm seed?
Ew.
Dried cup of cum.
Here's my potent army. Million strong.
We got a mortar and pestle of probably, semen.
Yeah, they weren't thinking like that, man. They thought there was like a little man in the goop.
Each one of these things has millions of
seeds. This is a Trojan horse.
Yeah, they didn't. This is one organism here.
All right.
Mustard seed.
You are correct.
Yeah.
It was supposed to symbolize obviously his army, but also that his army was smaller but more.
No. I love it. Great response. Great response.
That is a cool question.
Yeah, good question.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to ask you guys the last question of my 7-year anniversary of trivia. July 6th, 1944 is still remembered as the day the clowns cried due to a tragic circus fire in what Northeast capital city?
I want to say New York City right off the bat.
Not a capital, though.
That's right.
Yep. Damn. Albany would be the capital of New York.
Well, that could be it, too. You said major or capital? Just capital.
Northwest capital?
Northwest
capital. Northeast?
Yes. Northeast.
Northeast capital.
All right. So other capital. I'm bad with capitals, too, though. So there's only so many states in the Northeast, so we can narrow this down to at least a handful of states or cities. Is Boston a capital? Is Philadelphia a capital?
Boston would be a good guess.
I think, yeah. Philadelphia, is that a capital?
Yep.
What's the capital of Connecticut? Well, we got to think of who had... I guess it doesn't matter what the size of the city is.
I mean, Boston and Philly are good because they're major city centers, you know?
Mm-hmm. But who's to say it's a big city?
Well, what year did you say?
You're assuming.
Well, I'm assuming because you're going to bring the circus to the big city.
July 6th, 1944.
Yeah, because this wasn't, it's not like now where every town has a circus.
Yeah.
Call that the
political party. It's not Chicago. I would argue that would be Midwest.
Yeah, for sure.
Not Northeast.
Baltimore.
Yeah.
But 44, I think Boston and Philly is a good place to narrow
those
two.
Yeah. I mean, those are where you're going in the Northeast, I think. The Philadelphia Circus Fire, the Boston Circus Fire.
My gut says goes more towards Boston.
And that is such a poetic way to put it. The day the clowns cried or died.
Cried. Send in the clowns.
Yeah. Let's go with it. Let's go Boston.
Boston.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The correct answer is Hartford, Connecticut.
God damn it.
Hartford.
I even said.
I know.
No, I'm just kidding.
It is a terrible event that happened in Hartford a month after the D-Day invasion. Ringling Brothers.
I was going to say, I thought this was going to be a D-Day question.
And it was not.
No.
Threw that off. It was pretty awful, of course, named that because loads of people died. Over 9,000 patrons there. In the end, it says, according to eyewitness accounts, the 48-foot-tall Big Top burned in less than 10 minutes. Jeez. Flaming canvas sealed with gasoline and paraffin wax burned some to death. All told, 168 people, including 100 children, perished.
Damn.
Nearly 700 more were injured, some scarred, disfigured, and disabled for life. The death toll included 59 children who were 9 years old or younger.
How did they financially get out of that one? You know what I mean? Still continue for another 100 years.
Even though Ringling Brothers carried about $600,000 in liability insurance at the time of the fire, it would go on to pay just shy of $4 million in claims for the families of 698 dead and injured who filed claims. The last payment to families was made in 1950. The last legal action was taken in 1969 when the award to the late Charles Tomolanus was turned over to the state because he had no heirs.
Wow.
But yeah, pretty horrific. There's someone, I was trying to kind of find this information, and Jamie Carmichael knows it because he told it to me. There was someone who survived that fire, and I think it was Milton Berle, who was a survivor of that fire and would talk about it.
I think I might remember hearing something about that.
Who's that? I don't know who that is.
He's a comedian and actor.
Hmm.
Man, you said Connecticut, and I just gave up on it. I was like, I'd rather go with a popular state.
I did too, though. Hartford. But if we would have thought of the capital and said Hartford, do you think that would have rang a bell?
Yes, but I probably still would have gone with Boston. All
right.
Because just under the logic that's like a more major Hofford city.
Hartford Circus File.
Okay. My last question for you gentlemen is a beer question. Also a bit of history.
Beer story.
In the sciences. In 1922, what Danish Nobel Prize winning physicist won a lifetime supply of beer from Carlsberg Brewing, as well as a permanent tap installed in his home from which to draw upon the supply? Pretty sweet deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1922, what Danish Nobel Prize winning physicist won a lifetime supply of beer from Carlsberg Brewing? Excuse me. As well as a permanent tap installed in his home from which to draw upon the supply.
I'm trying to think of where Carlsberg is from. Oh, you said it was from...
It's Danish.
Danish.
Yep.
That's not going to help me at all, because I'm not going to know.
Niels Bohr?
Sure.
That's my guess.
I thought it would be more about beer. I was like, I could probably figure this out.
I was going to say initially it could be Albert Einstein. He's a physicist.
Did he drink, though?
I'm sure he did. I believe there's some kind of meme or something I've seen.
He's like drunk or something.
I don't know if Niels Bohr is a physicist, but it's, you said he was Danish, the person?
Yes.
And he's not Danish. Niels Bohr, I think Niels Bohr is my answer.
Okay.
Best I got.
I'm not going to help at all.
We're going to say Niels Bohr.
That's correct.
Nice.
Very good, Mark.
Thank you.
Your intuition was absolutely right there. Danish physicist Niels Bohr.
Yes.
Define the atom.
So someone's got to name a Pilsner. And they said,
you know what? You did such a good job with that atom. We're just going to give you free beer for life.
Hell yeah.
Installed into your home. Oh, it's Saturday. Beer's coming today. They're going to hook up the new keg. So I could just walk over there.
I'll say certain parts of the world, like a lot of royalty and people who are super important would have direct lines to some of these breweries, yes.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
I want to say Scotland or Ireland was one of them.
It might have been the situation here, too. This might have been a direct line. I just assumed that they brought over, deliveries or something, but...
Now, before we give Skylar his shove off,
mm-hmm.
I just have to say, if you are a Beatles fan...
This guy's getting paid by Apple over here.
If you are not Apple, the computer people.
No, the old Apple.
If you are a musician, if you are a songwriter or aspiring to be one, I implore you to set a whole day aside and watch Get Back. It is so damn good. I cannot recommend it enough.
If it's anything like the trailer had me going. Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah, I'm excited to watch it.
There are parts that where it will only really matter. We talked a little bit about this before the record, but there are parts that will only really matter much if you're a Beatles fan. But there is a lot that is just so fucking good. And I know you've started it, and you've even already been like, whoa.
Yeah, it's great. If you're a fan of the Beatles... This is awesome. It's like almost like a really well edited behind the scenes featurette of the making of this album. If you're not a fan, I don't think this is going to convince you, but it's very interesting if you're a fan. There's little obstruction from the filmmakers between you and the material. So you can really, get a sense of like that you're there in the room with them, edited very well. I agree. I recommend that as well.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag done that.
Skylar.
Lee, Mark,
any announcements you want to make?
Sorry,
right before
Mark,
we go?
But no, nothing right now.
All right, honestly,
I think it was just.
I'm glad because at
birthday.
This point, if I still didn't know, I would be pissed that you guys lied to me.
I think Abby, it was at Abby's birthday. We were just shooting the shit, and I just mentioned that I had a bunch of questions laying around. So he's like, "We gotta get you on."
There you go.
All right.
Yep,
it's that easy. Love having you on, bud.
Thanks. Yep, like we always do, and we did this time. Thanks so much for joining us, and folks, don't forget to add Death by Taco 239 on social media. And grab them tacos.
Also, please add There Will Be Grub on Instagram.
Yeah, sure.
His Instagram is just as, if not more, fascinating. I think I prefer that over the Death by Taco 239 Instagram because it's always just him in the trenches doing some cooking, just doing some chopped shit, watching him make fucking delicious sandwiches. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna just reduce this. These chicken gizzards into some kind of weird fucking sauce, and you're just like, what the fuck?
I'm using those for dinner tonight.
There you go.
This is what he was talking about in the intro, the things that he does for fun.
Yes.
You can find that on Instagram at There Will Be Grub, all one word, no underscores or anything like that. Skylar, thanks again.
Thank you.
All right, that concludes this episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No-No in several ways. The easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform. And you can support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, and clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including our quiz daddies, Brandon Long, Issa, Adam Volk at Esme and Red Crest Fried Chicken, Tim with Pat's Garden Service, and Tommy, go Pats. Our team captains, Matt, Mo, Rick G, Skylar,
me,
Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Jenny. I know you're tired because you didn't ding, ding, ding him when I said his name.
Oh, yeah. That's for you, buddy.
Thanks.
As well Rachel, as other Patreon supporters.
Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG, Aaron, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, David Holbrook, and Gil.
It's Gil.
Thanks to our proverbial light keepers, Rob, Captain Nick Williams, Kate, Rachel, Moo, Tim Gomez, a.k.a. Mappy 1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Justin, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John, Lewis, Nabil, and Ricky F. And to our Rumble Snailskins, Dylan, Sarah, Fox and Five, Laurel, Aaron, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, the people down at We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Michael C.,
Mike Ciabatta Carpaccio.
Michael J.
Mike just got a Carlsberg tap at home.
Michael K.
Mike keeps on calling the Smurfs Smurfle Snailskins.
Oh, okay.
If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, nonsensetrivia@gmail.com is the email address. You can also call us at 1-929-356-6966. And please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia. And on Twitter, play trivia along with us, No Non-Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. Skylar's there. I'm there. You're there. We're all there. And then finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
5 stars only, please.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.
You say thank you?
I don't know. I don't know what I was going to say.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Have a great week.